Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. As always, I'm honored to have you join us this week. So as you listen to the show, I'm going to give you a gift right out of the gate so that hopefully whatever change you're experiencing in your life, we can make it a smidge easier for you to navigate. So in the show notes, you'll see I have my communication style assessment. I highly recommend you take it. You'll get two reports. One will show your natural superpowers of how people perceive you in whatever communication that you're in. From my perspective, obviously, it's sales, but this tool will help you both professionally and personally. Flip side, you'll get a report with your lowest score, which is typically our blind spots. And I think sometimes that's more impactful in understanding how we're not showing up that maybe we need to lean into or learn how to navigate from that perspective as well. So again, I'll put that link in the show notes. Additionally, if you're loving the show, which I certainly hope you are, I'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. By subscribing, I know you won't miss an episode, and I would love for you to share. Sharing is caring. And then this way we can, you know, just keep raising the ships together as the tide rises and help each other with this great information between my guests and I. The last thing I want to share is my motivational quote to kick off today's topic. And the motivational quote is by J. Lauren Norris. And J. Lauren says, if you cannot see where you're going, ask someone who's been there before. Mm. And I just love this quote. And it reminded me, and actually it's a reminder that asking for help or advice can help you move forward probably quickly and more efficiently than if we try to do it alone. Now, mentorship is such an important component to help us determine what the next best steps are, especially when we're at those major crossroads, whether it be in business life or career. So how do we find a mentor, and should mentorship even be in your future? And these are great questions to ask. So of course, today I have an amazing guest who's, we're going to talk about this. And my guest is Cameron Toth. Now, Cameron is the host of Biz Dev Live, a show for entrepreneurs with advice and experience from real life entrepreneurs. Now, Cameron started his journey to successful entrepreneurship when he found Toth Event Staffing in 2011. Now, Toth Event Staffing is a hospitality company providing staff to caterers, cafeterias, and catering departments in the Westchester, New York, and New York City area. Biz Dev Live was founded in 2020 and takes Cameron's entrepreneurship experience and combines it with his passion for helping young people and business-minded professionals. Cameron's mission in life is increasing access to mentorship for all people. So please help me welcome Cameron to the show. And I'm super excited about today's conversation, Cameron. So thanks so much for being on.
Oh, Connie, thank you. And I love that. I love that quote, right? You know, if you don't know how to get where you're going, reach out to somebody who has done it before. Don't try to recreate that wheel. It's such an amazing thing. I think maturity teaches us that we can reach out. We can't open up a book. We can't access the internet and ask, you know, so many times. And we were talking before we jumped on, you know, about my children. And, you know, I love being a resource. I love getting questions. But there's a lot of times when, hey, Google is right there, you know, reach out and ask. It's easy to get those answers, and you can really deep dive. And then knowing the right person, when Google, you know, there is, you know, believe it or not, a place where the Google search will fail you. And a lot of times that's going to be around the peculiarities of relationships and how do you move from where you are right now in your specific, very specific place to the next stepping stone to get where you need to go. And that's where mentorship makes the difference. And I'll say this before we start our conversation, because I used to say, you know, my life's mission is about, empowering and educating people, or, you know, my passion for education. And I switched it over to mentorship because education can be very broad, and it can, you can get very lost in what education is, because education can be just about anything that is informing you. But mentorship is much more specific in the idea that It's exactly that kind of help. When you're lost, when you don't know the next step, you have somebody that can guide you to what the next best step or next best steps are. And one of the big things that I've been focused on the last 26, 27 years working with a nonprofit called soundbusiness.org, and the reason I'm so passionate about education, my own educational journey, the idea that I was lost in high school, and if I'd only had somebody to recognize where I was in the world to sort of guide me to keep all the doors of possibility open, how much further, I've done all right in life, how much further would I be, not only for myself, but for my family, for my children, for all the people that my life touches.
Absolutely. It's funny, early story, early in my career, I was in my 20s, and in our 20s, we're kind of floundering and finding our way. We don't really know what questions to ask, right? You kind of have your first job. And I remember this job, I worked for a credit company. My degree was in finance. I was going for my MBA in the evening, and they were paying for part of it, which was beautiful. Anyway, I'm doing my work, and come to find out, that's how sales found me. I was good at the job, and I created more business through education. It was funny. I taught the dealers how to create doing the lease calculation. Back then, nobody in the 80s, nobody knew what a lease deal was on a car. Anyway, I helped make all this money. They come to me, the dealers come to me when a sales job opened within the credit company to go out and connect with these dealers. So all these men are calling me going, "You're applying, right?" And my response was, "Well, what do I know about sales? What are you people crazy?" Because I kept getting these calls thinking, what are they talking about? So then they shared with me some analytics of their growth because of what I was teaching them. To them, I was selling. I was teaching them how to sell to their client, which blew my mind. I didn't know I was doing that. But so fast forward, I go to my boss and I say, "I think I'm good at the sales thing. What do you think? You know, can you give me a shot?" And it was interesting because it was a very male dominated company in the 80s and they wouldn't send a female out into the network of businesses here in New Jersey. And he told me, "I can't because you're a female. They'll never let me promote you." But this is the cool part of the story. First of all, I had never heard of such a thing. I was like, "What?" But then he said to me, "You've outgrown the company already." And he said, you need to start looking for another job, and you should be in sales because you're great at communicating and you're great at building relationships. Things I didn't know I was even doing, Cameron. He mentored me, and I didn't have to take days off, and I looked for jobs. So the cool thing is sometimes the mentor finds you. You just have to be open to it. He saw something in me I didn't even know. I didn't even know existed because I didn't even know what questions to ask. So sometimes just be open to that when someone comes to you and shares something that they see in you, and then tap into that. And he was very kind to me. Obviously I got another job, and my career took off from there.
It's such a great gift when somebody pays you the compliment and boosts your confidence up in places that you didn't even know you could be confident about, right? Such a gift.
Yeah. I owe him so much. Right. And, you know, obviously I'm sure he's passed by now, but I think of him often because I didn't know what I didn't know in my 20s. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why you really lean into helping younger folks as well, because they don't even know what their blind spots are yet. And we can help explore that. Talk to me about where you grew up and what was your career goal as a kid from when you were young?
Yeah, I have such a sense of abundance. And I think that stems from how I was raised. I had some challenges. My mother and father moved down from Boston, New York City. My mother quickly decided she was tired of my dad and moved out west with me. But I grew up between New York City and Southern California. I was with my mom for the first 7 years, and God bless my mother and my father. They came to an agreement. I decided I didn't want to stay in California with my mother. My father was willing to take me in. My mom was willing to let me go. That can't be said for every family dynamic. And so I spent my education from 7 years on in New York City with my dad, growing up on 57th Street between 9th and 10th. And I would go back in summers to go visit my mom and my siblings. I would go for Christmases in Missouri, in St. Louis, Missouri. So I got a real geographic kind of like movement across the country. So I was exposed to some different things, even while, you know, being in a single parent home. I was missing some of the education you get from being, you know, part of a bigger family unit. And that sort of played out in my high school education as, you know, my dad was distracted with deaths in the family. And, you know, so my grandparents were deteriorating, his best friend died. And so the attention to detail on my grades and where I was going just really wasn't there. And so I found myself very much like we were discussing before, not knowing what I didn't know, very lost. And as I get to the end of my high school education, I'm not completing the projects I need to graduate. So essentially, even though I went through 4 years of high school, I was a high school dropout. And then to further illustrate, you know, the idea that I was lost, and, you know, I'd had a conversation with my dad probably when I was like 10 or 11 years old. He asked me, "What do you want to be when you grow up, Cameron?" We were sitting in the pub down the street from where I lived. And I said, "I want to be rich." And I didn't know what I wanted to be. I didn't know, you know, what that entailed, but I said, "I want to be rich." And it's interesting because looking back on it now, you know, what was I doing to get where I wanted to go? Almost nothing, right? You know, I just wasn't really thinking about what I need to do right now to be where I want to be 20 years from now. And sure. So a lot of my education, a lot of my passion has been looking back at those years. So here I am. I basically dropped out of high school, went through 4 years, but, you know, didn't get my degree. At 19 years of age, I have a girlfriend. She's pregnant. She has the baby. And I am now a father. And coming from a split parent home, I am sobering up to the realization that I'm going to put this very young baby, because I'm not planning on spending the rest of my life with this woman that I got into a relationship. We've basically already broken up by the time he was born. And so I'm realizing what I'm doing to another human being. You know, I'm putting him through suffering, and he hasn't even started yet. I put him at a disadvantage, and he hasn't even started yet. And so that was a hard realization. So I got serious. I got my GED. I went after the college education, but I was still lost. I didn't have the mentorship in place, right? I wasn't asking the right questions. And so I'm following the girl in the red leather pants on the college tour. Well, this is the college for me, right? Still thinking with not the right head, right? And so
that's great.
You know, I'm still making mistakes and errors all along the way.
Sure.
But that fuels me to this day, because I know what I could have done better, because I've now gotten to that point where I've, you know, met the obstacles, fell down hard, got back up again. 2 years later, you know, into the college process, I'm dropping out of college again. Still to this day, I don't have a college degree. And it's funny because, you know, I have my own business now. I go back and I'm participating in college and career stuff. And I'm talking to this student, you know, that's struggling through high school. And their assumption when they look at me, a white male, I'm usually in a suit, you know, I have my own business, is that, of course, he's a college graduate. And then you should see the look in their eyes as I say, you know, I don't have a college degree. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, I'm not proud that I didn't graduate. You know, you hear some people, I didn't need to, whatever. I'm not proud that I didn't graduate, but I speak about it in the sense that, you know, the idea that I know some of the opportunities, even opportunities that I would be looking for right now in this moment, maybe to go teach at a college to further my passion in educating other people, some of those doors aren't open to me because I didn't get that paperwork, didn't get some of those things. And so many people right now, right? And you talk about it with your training materials. So many people are kept back from the potential because they're not willing to go out and seek that training, get the help they need, get the mentorship they need, get the paper degree on the wall that they need.
Yeah. And I'm part of a community. I met a gentleman who's at Fairleigh Dickinson University. Mm. He teaches there, but he also has his own business, and someone introduced us and I just fell in love with him. He's creating entrepreneurial zones, e-zones, we call them.
Nice.
And the idea is that people that don't have access to mentorship and resources for whatever reason, he believes, and he's on a mission, and we're the people in our community, we're really trying to support this out there. But these E-zones, he believes, can eliminate poverty. So we're starting in the U.S., and I think we have 18 up and running. And then we're going to try to do that on a global scale. So, you know, by empowering people with education and mentorship and all of these pieces of the puzzle that they don't know what their blind spots are. So you have these experts come together who truly care and want to give back. So we're creating these E-zones. It's exactly what you're talking about, that we don't know what we don't know. So yeah. if someone can share or shine that light, it becomes really valuable. And I just want to comment one more thing. So, you know, coming up as I train, you probably see this too. The people in the workforce, right, are getting younger and younger, especially as I get older and older, although I'm not aging at all, by the way, Cameron. But, you know, as they're getting younger and younger, so they would come to me because they know I'm all about efficiency and constantly learning. And so they would come to me and say, hey, Con, you know what I think would be a great book for you? And then they tell me a book, or what book are you reading? And then I would say to them, well, what books are you reading? You know, especially business related. And the other thing, they'd come to me, especially when I first got my iPhone, maybe, you know, 10 years ago. Hey, Con, you should download this app. It will help you with your sleep. Like if I say I don't sleep well at night, or this will help you with your time management, or do this Google, whatever. And not only would I take the advice, Cameron, I would say to them during lunch, can you download it for me and then show me how to use it? Because I won't have the time to go and play with it. You guys are so good at this technology. I'm not. So I would tell them, you're going to reverse mentor me. And they would giggle and go, they would be so honored that I was asking them for help, right? Because I'm the successful business person. And I'm thinking, I don't even know what you're talking about, right? So we all have blind spots, even as we age, and we think we have all the answers, right, Cameron? We don't. Yeah. So I love that reverse mentorship idea, because I find the young people bring so much value of courage and technology and no fear of the technology to the table. And they know resources that I wouldn't even begin to be able to find, because I don't know what questions to ask about technology. It's the same thing, right? That we can relate to each other on this very deep level.
Yeah. When you talk about wealth mindset and having a mind that is ready for development and being able to step into your own and own your own value, the idea that no matter where you are in life, that you have something of offer, that you have value, is such a big deal. You know, I know for a lot of young people that listen to conversations like these, oh, mentorship, that sounds great, but, you know, they're not even going to pick up my call. Why are they going to be interested in speaking to me or answering my questions? And when I speak to young people, I try to emphasize, you know, the idea that if you're, especially if you're really young, right? You know, let's say you're, you know, 11, 12, 18, you know, the idea that if you reach out to somebody looking for mentorship, looking for advice, right? People are so open to you because you are young, because we've all been there and we've all had those challenges. Now, that's not to say for any young people that are listening to this, you know, not to reach out to somebody in an unsophisticated way and say, hey, what's up? I need some advice. You know, it's, you know, the idea that if somebody young is reaching out to me, I'd like to know a little bit more about what you do. I'd like to understand your industry. I would love to understand how I get an opportunity like the one that you have. When you reach out that way in a respectful kind of manner, that blows people like me away because it happens so very little, one.
Yeah.
And two, because I am excited for the opportunity to share some of the information, have somebody that's actually excited to listen to some of the information that I have to offer.
It's amazing. And it's, again, I think people are afraid that they're bothering you. And I know I'll share two things. The think tank, it's a young cohort. They, this two people bring kids together in the high school level. They're very, very passionate about learning, these kids. And I come and I teach my communication style and we talk about it. And then they join me on LinkedIn. And it's remarkable that they're very willing to reach out, follow my show, but they'll say, hey, Con, what books are you reading? I'm reading this book. Do you think it's a good one? And they ask for help from me. And I'm so honored that they, number one, they feel connected right after I speak, but that they feel I can help them and they're not afraid, or like they're very hesitant. Like, would you mind? Would it be okay? And of course I respond with, of course. Oh my gosh. I would love to have a conversation with you further if I can help you in some way. And it's cute because then they say, oh, and I shared you with my mom and she's listening to your show, which I find so freaking adorable that they see the value of sharing that information as well. So yeah, we got to ask for help. It's okay. And even if you're not sure what you're asking, how you just presented that was beautiful to say, hey, I'm curious about your industry. I'm curious about your career. I'm really in learning mode. Would you mind having a quick chat with me so I could pick your brain? I can't imagine anybody with an open heart or a heart-centered approach to life, wealth mindset, right? Abundance mindset. They'll never say no to you. I would never say no.
And you talk about sales with heart. And I think, you know, if we understand that's a sale made, right? You ask somebody for advice, mentorship. That is cha-ching, right? That is a sale done, right? And I think that's been one of my keys to success coming back after the pandemic, just to talk a little bit about Toth Event Staffing in the sense that, you know, as an entrepreneur since 2011, some of the ups and downs, you know, big challenge has been coming back from pandemic where we're at our lowest revenue point, you know, with live events and corporations not needing hospitality services almost at all, unless you are actually, you know, providing drop-off meals, which we have never done. That is not something that hospitality was geared to during the pandemic. And so we just had zero business. So now, fast forward, you know, business is back, corporations are back, people are back in the offices. We're doing better now as a company than ever before. And a couple of the reasons for that is one, the mentorship that I sought out and doing BizDev Live, starting that up during the pandemic, you know, sort of changed my mindset around a lot of things and got me focused on growth and expansion. But the bigger part is the idea that as the relationships come back, we are super dedicated to serving those relationships with heart and following up with all the people that we're doing business with, that we've done business with before in a heart, you know, sort of focused kind of way, but really, hey, how can I service you? How can I help you? When's the next thing? Asking the questions, right? Because, you know, it goes to this idea that you don't get what you don't ask for. And, you know, if you're looking for a mentor, you're looking for those next steps, you're feeling lost, you will continue to be lost if you don't ask for direction. And that's really, really important because a lot of us will get down, we'll get depressed, we'll get strung out on the idea that things aren't going well or as well as we want them to do. And we forget to ask for directions. We forget to lift our head up and ask for direction, ask for help. And when we do, and I've asked people that pay me a lot of money through my company to, you know, send out, I've asked for a lot of direction. Where would you like me to? How can I do this? How can I become an approved vendor? How can I? And so by doing that, right, we're servicing their needs better. And guess what? It's better for Toth Event Staffing.
Absolutely. It's interesting because COVID, you were decimated. Your industry was really affected because it was live. I mean, you bring stuff live to these events. What a great comeback story. But you're right. It's asking the right questions that opens doors for you. So I agree with that 100%. Just why did you start a company instead of going the corporate route? I'm always just curious you know, the corporate route, it's easier in certain ways and maybe not in others, but at least you have that steady paycheck. I'm just curious. I love to hear other entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I love the way that the E-Myth talks about entrepreneurship, right? People get the entrepreneurship heart attack kind of thing, you know, viewed as a sickness, right? You get this bug at some point that attacks you, and not everybody's built for it, right? It can be something that you come down with, and then once you are in it, you know, you realize, oh my goodness, what did I get myself into? And, you know, how can I get myself out of it quickly? And I've definitely very, very, very lucky in the sense that, you know, I started a business 11 years ago. I did not have an MBA. I did not have mentors in place to really guide me through it in a really good, helpful, holistic, bountiful kind of way. I definitely rode by my seats, right? I definitely did things the hard way, but 11 years later, I'm still here. And I credit that to, you know, my dad exposing me to books when I was a kid, you know, for all the challenges and tough stuff that we went through. I was raised in New York City, and they talk about New York City in the sense that, you know, if you're raised there, you can live anywhere, right? You know, the idea that you're ready for anything. You know, I don't know if it raises you for the wilds of Wyoming, but you know, it's a pretty good place in terms of dealing with people, communication, learning how to navigate the world, especially culturally and communicatively. For me, my story, you know, coming out of, you heard the high school and college story, I wasn't doing well, too well. In the 90s, I started into my hospitality career right around the time when I was going through the whole college drama and dealing with single, you know, fatherhood and all the craziness. So I became a bartender, and that turned into becoming a temp waiter. And so that was my first experience with the temp staffing world, which is eventually what I ended up opening my company as a temp staffing provider. But I was working down in the city. My first job was with World Yacht as a bartender, and then with a big staffing firm. And they gradually got me into accounts in Westchester. So I was exposed to Westchester for the first time. Growing up in New York City, Westchester was, like so many people refer to it, upstate New York. It's, yes, you know, 30 minutes, 40 minutes from the heart of New York City, but people would refer to it as, you know, upstate New York, like, you know, I live in Westchester now, like, you know, White Plains or Valhalla, where I live, was like, you know, Albany. It's not Albany. It's not even close to Albany.
I love it.
You know, this was the thing, but, and it got me exposed to that. And eventually I met my wife in Westchester. I moved from being a temp staff person, bartender, waiter role to a food service manager working with Manhattanville College, and then moved over next door to corporate food dining with MasterCard, and then left Compass Group, which is the parent company of the food service dining. Flick is a big company owned by Compass Group. Went to a little independent, and I became a food service director for the Cadbury Sweps headquarters in Greenwich/Portchester, and did very well there. And you were talking about a time in your life where some people complimented you and kind of boosted your confidence. That was really crucial for me, that experience of running, you know, wasn't a very lucrative role, but I was, you know, given a lot of authority at a relatively young age. I was in my mid-20s when I was a food service director for a cafeteria that had catering and commissary going out of it. We were servicing a hedge fund. We were serving a senior home with meals coming out of the commissary. We were running pantry stuff. So there was a lot going on. And, you know, this young guy is kind of managing it and operating it all out of this unit in Greenwich/Portchester. And that gave me a great, great sense that, oh man, you can do this stuff. And that was really big for a guy that, you know, dropped out of high school, dropped out of college. Sure. That was a big deal in my life. I had a big, massive gain and boost in confidence. And so that we'll come back to that. But I left that job because it was so many hours. I was recently married, and it was not compensating me. I didn't have the authority that I wanted to have. It started to go downhill. And so I went into a temp role and became assistant meeting role at a medical education company, moved up to a food service manager. That takes us to 2009. So I'm working for this company in the corporate role, right? Going back to the original question that you asked me, why entrepreneurship instead of working with corporate? Well, I had about three or four bosses working in corporate. I had my cubicle, I had my benefits, I had my weekly pay, I had all that. But the negative was I found myself in Mexico. We were going through paperwork issues with my wife, who's a Mexican foreign-born citizen, right? And so she had come into the United States illegally. There was no path of citizenship, even though we'd been married for 5 years at that point, had two children together. There was just no path of citizenship. So we're in Ciudad Juarez, and I'm out of the country, and it's the economic downturn, 2008, 2009. And my company calls me up. At the same time, the U.S. government is telling me that my wife can't come back into the country for 13 to 15 months while they review a single document that was not included into the package that we told the lawyers about, all this stuff, crazy stuff going on with paperwork. Anybody that's been through immigration, you know, it can be tough. I'm getting the phone call from my company in Stamford, Connecticut. Oh, we're laying off you as well as another 49 people, right? 50 people out of this 100-person company. I was not happy with that. I was not very satisfied with what was going on and where I was in the world. And that sort of snapped me towards the decision, you know, I'd like to be in control of my own destiny. I'd like to be able to spend time with my family. And as I was going through the 2 weeks in Mexico, 2 weeks in the United States, you know, pulling together part-time work to make it all work and see my family and all that, by the time my wife was allowed to come back into the United States, and this is happy, you know, ending to the story, me and my wife been married for 18 years plus, we have four kids together. It's a beautiful situation. But Toth Event Staffing, I launched in 2011 because I did not want to go back to corporate. I did not want to go back to a place where I couldn't control my own destiny. I wanted to be able to raise money and give back to some of the nonprofit work that I was doing with soundbusiness.org, which is an organization that provides college career preparation. I didn't see that happening. I didn't see the ability to spend time with my children the way I wanted to, going back to corporate life. And so for me, entrepreneurship was the only way. Luckily, it's worked out fairly well. Absolutely. In the sense that I started up Toth Event Staffing in 2011 and have been able to spend time with my kids, make a living, pay the rent, do all well, give back to nonprofit, all that good stuff.
Yeah. Build a life, build a business, right? That's what I say. It's funny because similar for me, corporate merger. And finally I came home, we had two babies. And I said to my husband, I just can't do this anymore. And he's like, what do you want to do? I go, I want to get fired. And he goes, and then what do you want to do? I'm like, I want to start my own business. I need control over my time, my money, you know, my decisions with the kids. You know, I was working ridiculous hours because I was an executive at a corporation. Yeah. I'm not seeing the kids. Why did we have kids? This is, I don't want my parents raising my kids. I mean, thank God I had the help, right? You say, thank God for that. But that's just,
not everybody that has that, right? And they're dealing with it. And dealing with
very blessed. Trust me. But on the flip side, I knew that my path had to be different where I was in more control. So it's funny to hear another entrepreneur say kind of the same thing. We are out of time. However, I do need to share. Here's the deal. Cameron has a YouTube channel where he shares a ton of free resources and information. So if you're at crossroads or you're unsure of what your next step is, perhaps the information on the YouTube or the mentorship and the help, the way he helps navigate those next steps for you might be a beautiful thing. So I'm going to post all the links in the show notes, but it's youtube.com/Cameron Toth. If you have a question specific for Cameron or you need to hire him for his food services and his catering services and all of the things that he does on the hospitality side, please email him directly at Cameron@Toth. Let me just make sure I get this, ToththEventStaffing.com. And again, he will get back to you with any information you need. I will put those links in the show notes for you. So no worries. You'll be able to find Cameron.
And let me just say this, because I know people's time is limited. You can just Google Cameron Toth or BizDev Live and the information will pop right up. That is the beautiful thing when you do a show and have over 300 episodes, the SEO value goes through the roof. So if you're looking for a reason to host a show or have some kind of podcast, man, do it consistently. And whatever the name of your business or brand that you want to pop up on Google will do that. So it's a good reason to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have on Changing the Sales Game, I think I have well over 100 episodes, and my Eliminating Enlightenment of Change, this show, I think I have close to 300, but I didn't start posting them on Libsyn 2 years ago. So I have like 600 episodes.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, that consists again, right? At Cameron,
consistency,
it's like,
baby. That is the way. Yeah.
Consistency works as long as it's consistently a good thing. So yeah, make sure your steps are the right steps before you start getting consistency mixed in. Yeah, Cameron, preach. Thank you so much. A true joy to get to know you, chat with you, and see what you're up to. Really appreciate your story. Thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, a real joy. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover. No matter what change you're going through, I truly hope my guests and I provide some tips, strategies, and ideas for you to implement now. Now, do not wait and say, oh, I'll get to this next week. Try to do something or take an idea from today's show and implement it immediately after listening. As soon as you tune out of our conversation, try to implement one of the strategies or ideas that Cameron and I discussed today. Trust me, when you put things into action, and we're talking baby steps, peeps, nothing grandiose or huge, put a baby step in place. I promise magic happens when we start going into action mode. Thank you again, Cameron, for being on. Truly a pleasure. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. As always, I truly am honored to have you on this journey of change with me and that you trust your time with me every week. I truly do feel privileged for that. And I do hope that you find value week in and week out with my guests and I. Have a wonderful, inspired week and create one step forward on your journey of change. Thanks so much. Thanks again, Cameron. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.
Yep. See you next time.